Roll call, please.
Yes. Commissioner Cooley?
Here.
Chair Ekstrom? Commissioner Finch?
Here.
Commissioner Kilkenny? Commissioner Peterson? Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Thompson? Commissioner Ayala?
Here.
Commissioner Henthorne?
Here.
To the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, next, the meeting minutes from September 30th. The draft is in your packet. I don't think everyone had time to read them. With that, do we have any amendments or changes that need to be made? Hearing none, the minutes are...
Actually, yeah.
Do you do have one?
Yes.
Okay.
So on page 5, I would just like it to be added, because as I was reading, I was a little bit confused on what was going on. I want like it to be on record that there was an interruption in our meeting.
Where would that be? On
page 5, under under staff clinch you make, after we talk about all of that, there is where I spoke and asked if the Heritage Trail went through Laurel Lane. And then the chair requested guidance from the county council. After that, it just doesn't seem clear on what happened. So there was an interruption in the meeting. I would like that noted, that interruption was made.
So just above Commissioner Peterson's comment, just to note that there was an interruption.
There was an interruption in...
do you have specific language you want to include, or do you want us to work on that and come back next time?
Yeah, if you guys can work on it, because the interruption was, the meeting was interrupted, and it doesn't note that here at all. So there's no conversation on what happened during the interruption.
I'm not sure how to handle that, but we'll figure it out.
Meetings are also recorded.
Yes.
People could go back and look.
Yeah, just otherwise, yeah. We could just add here that the meeting was interrupted. And
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Maybe just that change.
Okay, that, and then there's just a slight spelling error on that same page. Just the S and the K are backwards in my name.
Oh, sheesh.
Right. Where's that? I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 7.
Okay.
Oh, I see it. Yep.
Oh. Also, where it says written material can be submitted but not public comments, or is it but no public comments?
And excuse me, what page and what line are you
still
on?
Still 5, uh-huh. from the bottom up to 5.
Dan Kearns responded that comments were not taken in a work session, only in a hearing. He also recommended that comments not be taken because there was no notice sent that this would be on the agenda. Written materials can be submitted, but not public comments. Is that incorrect?
Oh, I don't know. I was just reading it. But no public comments or not?
Not in a work session, but in a formal, not for that work session item, but in a formal hearing, certainly, yes.
Okay. All right. Any additional changes or amendments? Hearing none, I have a motion to accept the minutes with the noted changes.
I motion to accept the minutes with the noted changes.
Liz made the motion. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passed. Minutes accepted. Today we have one public hearing, so I'll start with this. Good evening. I'm Stacy Ekstrom, Chair of the Morrill County Planning Commission. I'll proceed over tonight's meeting.
Persons who wish to provide testimony may do so orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the applicable criteria. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision makers and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Please sign up in the back of the room or make a note in chat if you're participating in Zoom if you'd like to present testimony. Please speak only when identified by the chair and begin with your name, spelling of your name, and your address. If you have exhibits for consideration, please provide a copy to staff. If you'd like to request the commission to hold the record open or continue hearing, that must be done before the public portion of the hearing. That concludes the introduction. I'll now call to order Legislative Code Update AZ 16025 Morrill County Zoning Ordinance Amendment and call for staff. So I'm going to guess that's you two.
Yep. It's me on this piece. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Ekstrom. For the record, Tamara Mabbitt, Planning Director. So the legislative hearing before you is to adopt the new state Eastern Oregon solar siting rules. I can spew off a whole bunch of references to a bunch of numbers, or not. So I'm trying to minimize those. What you have in front of you, beginning on packet page 8 and going through packet page 10, is a memo that I wrote summarizing those rules. June, the Land Conservation and Development Commission adopted new solar siting rules, really with a couple of things in mind, sort of to streamline the process, I think was their original intent. There was a two-year process with what they call a RAC, or a Rule Advisory Committee. There was one meeting here locally, which I attended, but asked not to be on the Rule Committee because it's 2 years of time and traveling around the state to prepare for it. Nonetheless, we could. County did submit some comments before the commission took final action. We had a work session just briefly, I think it was in June, and we mentioned the new solar siting rules. And then soon after they came out, the Board of Commissioners chair asked to have a work session. So I did have a work session on August 6th in front of the Board of Commissioners with some state agency staff and several members of the development community. Those members of the development community are very eager to move forward with siting their solar projects. And when we get to the end of the agenda today, when we go over the monthly update, I'll share a little bit more about Governor Kotek's executive order that was issued, Order 2525. Anyway, I'll share more about that. During that work session, I think we shared with the board what the effect of those will be. And I did summarize on the bottom of what is page 8, page 1 of the memo, the new Section 44 rules increase the local thresholds for permitting. Probably don't need to go over that much. It's complicated, but you're County Planning Commission members, so you get it. It's based on value of farm ground. So the higher the value of the farm ground, the lower the size that we can permit at the local level versus the state level. It didn't change the state's jurisdiction, so I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do about that. And I also included that table. And then I thought what I would do is share with you the new rules, in addition to streamlining the process, were really intended to help the development community avoid the Goal 3 exception process, which is like a variance to a statewide planning goal. The bar is set pretty high intentionally to do that, and I think it requires a lot of effort, and it's not risk-free for developers to move forward by design. But with the state's agenda to cite more renewable energy, these new rules, if you meet all of these standards, and that list begins on page 2 and ends on page 3, there's maybe 10 or a dozen of those, then you could have your solar siting project approved and not take an exception to statewide planning goal 3. One of the projects that was permitted in the county by the state, but staff has local process. And you as the Planning Commission really aren't involved with those larger projects that are approved by the state, but the elected officials, so in our case, the Board of Commissioners, are the local advisory group. Special advisory group is what they call them, and they're also the governing body. So there are three formal times in the state FSEC siting process where the county proper would do a review and provide comments. The planning staff does a review. We prepare them on behalf of the Board of Commissioners. So one of those projects was a nearly 10,000 acre solar project, and that project was the first in the state, first I'm aware of. It was the biggest at the time. It's probably been superseded by now in the country, as far as we knew. If you want bragging rights, we may have the largest solar project. But again, that could easily, quickly change. They had to take an accepted exception to statewide planning goal 3. There's some specific criteria in the statute for doing that. And in addition to meeting those statutory requirements, they also said, we recognize that taking 10,000 acres of land out of dryland wheat production has an effect on the local agricultural economy. So they hired an economics consulting firm, Eco Northwest, highly reputable firm. And they said, yeah, it does. And here's the number. Here's the value over the life of the project. So they essentially offered the county money and said, this is money for mitigation, to mitigate impacts like for like. So it's not to build a new swimming pool, for example, but it would be to mitigate impacts to the industry. So for example, to use for electrical upgrades at the Northlex elevator. And there are some other things that qualify, plus appointing a local advisory committee, et cetera. The reason I share that is I think it's helpful to have it for context. Part of that was the impetus for these new rules. And as part of these new rules, if you look on page 2, the summary of the new standards, halfway down it says mitigate agricultural impacts. And they modeled those specific administrative rule provisions based on what we had already adopted in Brown County. So it's not always great to be the first in line, but anyway, I think the company who did that really was forward-thinking and was generous about it. And no good deed goes unpunished, right? So now they set the bar for everybody else. So anyway, so what's proposed in front of you is, again, a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners and those new, what we call Section 44 standards. So if you see, I reference OAR 660-033-0130-44. So 44 is the new place in Oregon Administrative Rules. What we currently have in our code is also cross-references Section 38 in those administrative rules. And rather than choosing one over the other, really through this collaborative process and the work session the board had, the board gave me the recommendation to go ahead and add Section 44. There might be a chance some very small projects might want to have a more simplified process under the existing 38. And if the county does not take action on implementing the new Section 44 rules, they become automatically effective January 1, 2026. Normally, that just happens. And in this case, the action of the commission, the state commission, was a county's required to opt out if you don't want to implement them. Our neighbors to the east, Umatilla County, opted out. I had just a brief conversation with their community development director. They're just looking at where these standards would apply. It's a little bit more complicated in Umatilla County because they also have some combined farm forest lands, so they weren't sure what effect that would have. And then Wasco County is opting out. And I'm not sure about Sherman and Gillum. I haven't checked with them on that yet. So these rules would become effective January 1. However, including some input from our land use counsel, Dan Kearns, by taking formal action It does two things. It's in our code, so somebody can go through our code and say, oh yeah, section 44 is there. But we have also are not removing 38. So it's very clear that by not opting out, double negatives can be confusing. We're not replacing section 38 with 44. We want to make it as flexible as this set of cumbersome rules can be. So both options are there. The other piece on beginning on page 10 of this memo, these new administrative rules created what's called the Goal 5 approach. So most common Goal 5 resource we deal with here is an aggregate resource, but they cover all kinds of resources, all natural resources, cultural, historic, fish, wildlife, etc. We're not pursuing a Goal 5 process per se, but if someone in the industry wants to pursue that, we're open for business and we would certainly process their application. If the county were to pursue the Goal 5 approach, it'd take a lot of probably two planners' time, a lot of Stephen's time, a lot of somebody, another planner here at the office's time. I'm not even sure I understand it, and even the smartest minds that I tap to better understand these rules said, we're not sure how that would work. So anyway, there's several other cross-references in here. And then on the top of page 11 of your packet are the two very small changes to our zoning ordinance. So we'll add this under 3.010E conditional uses. So that will reference two subsections, M3, which would be the Section 38 rules, and M4, which would be the Section 44 rules. And then the specific siting requirements would be Section 3.010M. And rather than including all of these additional pages, and they do change, and I suspect they're going to change, I just reference that administrative rule. It's kind of a shortcut, but our EFU zone now is, what, 50?
Yeah, 50-some pages. So.
Yeah.
I think we've had that discussion a few times, and incorporating by reference where appropriate.
Yeah. So Stephen pulled up our interactive map, which is just kind of a visual, and just so you can see the solar that we have in Morro County right now. Are you just on solar, Stephen?
Yes, just solar.
So that's a little bit secondary, but I think for context, it's really nice to look at how much we have. I think we're leading the state. It's a lot. There's a positive and a negative, and I think we've heard a lot of those discussions. But the board said, for those landowners and developers who want to pursue it, let's give them options, which really puts the county in a better position also, for example, with the agriculture mitigation funds. I will be quiet and see if you have any questions.
Does anybody have any questions of staff?
I have a couple. Why would we lower the acreage threshold? Why are we making it? Did I understand that right? First, let me. Did I understand? Are we lowering section 44? Oh, sorry. I misspoke.
Okay.
We're raising the acreage threshold for which it has to come to the Planning Commission. Do I understand that right? Under this threshold, so if a plan comes in for 140 acres under Section 44
mm-hmm.
on high-value farmland, it's going to automatically be granted an approval?
No. They still have to meet all the standards.
But if they meet all the standards, it doesn't come before the Planning Commission.
Right. Actually, most of these won't because they'd be processed administratively. It's and if, for example, like your example of 140 acres, the project has to be 160 or lower to meet that Section 44.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then it would go to FSEC, and they'd have to do an exception to statewide planning goal 3.
Okay. So why did we replace it for 12 acres?
Well, the state did.
Okay, so that's not our adoption. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Okay.
So we were told by the state that we had to raise it.
we didn't have to raise it. We could have opted out and kept just the Section 38. And honestly, we're not seeing solar projects at 160 acres. We're seeing thousands and thousands. There was the 10,000
right.
acre, and we've seen them bigger. So at the end of the day, I don't know how much difference this is going to make,
yeah.
but I feel like there's going to be this big push between now and July 4th, 2026, because of federal tax credits, like a really big push.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of bracing ourselves for that. And then we might see some infill projects after that, and that's my guess of when these would really come into effect.
Any additional questions?
Why would, what would be the arguments for or against opting out? Because we like, you know, we our neighbors to the east
mm-hmm.
opted out. Was there any reason stated as to why we, I'm just looking at this as, you know, I live here like everybody else does. I'm not saying I don't believe in these renewable projects, but I think that everybody thinks that, like, understanding energy generation like I do, these aren't the cure-all. Like, renewable energy has to be backed up by
mm-hmm.
a continuous...
uninterrupted
flow of power.
Yeah.
So, like, when wind doesn't blow, the hydroelectric dam has to back it up, or a gas plant has to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we're not getting rid of this stuff, but we're putting ourselves in a weird spot, like Texas did back in 2022.
In 2000, it was a big blackout.
In the middle of the winter, and I'm a little concerned from our electrical standpoint, that we're leaning too much on these renewables and not on reliable energy sources.
They call it firm power versus
firm power.
Yeah. So I can try to. I appreciate your comments very much. Those decisions are made at a much different,
yeah.
higher policy level. I'd love to chat about it all day, all evening, but these are. The purview, if you will, of the county permitting process.
Mm-hmm.
There are other opportunities to raise those concerns, but usually not at the regulatory end.
Right.
Any additional questions of staff? At this time, any public testimony, comments, or presentation on this zoning ordinance amendment only?
These are all other businesses.
Okay.
Can public ask just one quick technical question?
I can't say I'm going to know the answer, so
okay.
Staff will probably have to answer it.
On your project for the county, is there anything identified on if they're TOPCon or Perth type?
If they're, I'm sorry, say those terms again.
Question on if they are TOPCon type panels or Perth type panels?
I don't know. And that's not one of the, it's not one of the siting standards. So the brand name or the maker?
It's not the brand or the maker. It is the technology.
Okay.
That's why my question for the county
okay.
is understanding the technology that they're asking to put up.
It's not in our standards or the state standards that are proposed. It's a fair question, but you just out-teched me, so I don't
could
know.
Could you, for the record, could you please state your name and address for the record for comment?
Randy
it's during
Baker.
A public comment, so you are during a public hearing, so that's fine.
Randy Baker, RANDYBAKER, 70251 Pioneer Lane, Morgan, Oregon.
Thank you. At this time, does anybody wish to continue the hearing or hold the record open? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Commission to deliberate. Do you have any additional questions of staff or the applicant? So we call for a recommendation to the VOC. State clearly who's making the motion and who's second. Do we have a recommended motion to either recommend to the VOC approval or not approve?
I recommend we approve as requested by the VOC.
We have a motion has been made. Do we have a second?
Seconded.
OK. update. Any additional comments, questions? No questions. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion passed.
For the record, Commissioner Hinthorn was opposed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you.
It's
all good.
Well, vote my conscience.
It's all good. I just need to make sure we have it for the record. Thank you. That was good. Well, we can have another conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have a work session on it.
Okay. And at this time, we are now moving on to other business. We are going into our update on the Columbia River Heritage Trail and concept. Remember, this is just an update and not a public hearing. Okay, Mr. Plint.
Did you say you wanted to start?
Oh, I did say I wanted to start.
With a little context?
Well, I guess.
I was just handing this
out. We can go either way. I think it's more valuable to start with context.
And our council Kearns might add to this as well. So I apologize if last month there was any confusion when we did our 60% engineering term, we would, as planners, call it draft, review of the Heritage Trail concept plan. It was a work session. It was not a formal hearing or proceeding. And that's why we did not take public testimony. That's the way it's treated again tonight. But after spending some time and listening to Dan's good advice and based on his years of experience, we will schedule the adoption of the Heritage Trail concept plan for a formal hearing. And that will be at our January 27th Planning Commission meeting. The Heritage Trail likely will be adopted as an appendix to Chapter 9, which is our Goal 8 recreation element of our comprehensive plan. Sorry to sound so jargony, but it's jargony. Mm-hmm. And during that time, with that formal legislative hearing, we would certainly schedule opportunities for public comments, submittals to the record for that specific hearing, and comments during that public hearing. And again, your advice would be to make a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners, who would then take some final action. So again, tonight would be just an update, and Clint's done a nice job, mostly Clint, putting the memo together. Primarily what we did in the 30 days or so since last meeting was to follow up on some items that you asked us to take a look at. So, did I capture everything, Dan?
Yeah, is it worth me kind of weighing in on how this, our discussion and how I view this in the land use context?
Yes, please.
Okay, sure. When this first came up at the last meeting, this particular item was not on my radar screen, and I was kind of taken aback by you know, Mr. Tallman's comments, and that it was a workshop session element, and his request to have a substantial amount of information put in the record, and then the interplay between this trail proposal plan and what the city of Boardman is doing, and also the substance of Mr. Tallman's objections that, as I understood it, his battles primarily with the city of Boardman. And so it made me kind of think about this at some length since the last meeting, and I've chatted with Tamara too, since she knows how your comprehensive plan is structured and how it interplays with these sorts of elements and the development regulations. And so I guess my first question to her was, you know, I've seen these sorts of trails come up in other jurisdictions, and they're either a Goal 12 transportation facility or a Goal 8 recreational facility, but I'm used to seeing them as a land use item, as something that is somewhat controlled by the statewide planning goals. And so, like, what is its status as it comes before you? And so we talked about that, and I think Tamara's correct, and I agree that it strikes me as a recreational facility, and so that would be under the purview of statewide planning Goal 8 and your local Goal 8. And when I first heard Mr. Tallman's objections, it took me a while to figure out what his beef was, but I remember early on in my career hearing similar objections to a city client of mine that was considering stormwater planning for its jurisdiction. So it carved itself up into different watersheds and undeveloped portions that were going to be zoned residential and would have a certain density and a lot of impervious surface, and it had to plan for stormwater detention and collection systems. And so it was at that point a mapping exercise where they took these undeveloped areas of private property and overlaid what the city wanted in the future by way of stormwater detention. And so people who owned that property were pretty alarmed when they realized that the city was planning a giant detention pond for their property. And so understandably they were alarmed, but in reality, you know, these are just general plans, so that the sense is, in the stormwater context, somewhere in this area you need this kind of stormwater capacity, storage capacity, but in order to effectuate that plan, like in order for you to effectuate this trail plan, you would have to pin down exactly a location through a very detailed surveying process, and then approach the private property owners and negotiate the acquisition of the property for this stormwater pond or this trail or whatever the thing is that is being proposed. And so the property owners back then thought, wow, this is like condemnation right now. This is acquisition of my property rights, and it is not. You know, it's a planning exercise. It doesn't have any impact on your property ownership or possession or use or anything, and that if this is going to go beyond anything more than a purely planning exercise, there would be a negotiation process and an acquisition process, or it wouldn't happen. So I think I understand the substance of his arguments, and I recommend that this be processed as a land use, legislative land use decision to adopt a plan like this. If that's what you're inclined to do, it become a component or an appendix to your comprehensive plan, and it would be subject to review under the applicable statewide planning goals. And then someday in the future, to effectuate that plan, you would have to somehow acquire these chunks of trail from people. But this is, you haven't started that process yet, and Tamara suggested have a first hearing in January. So what I would advise Mr. Tallman to do is keep your powder dry, because everything you submit tonight into this proceeding is not going to become part of the record of that future land use proceeding. So when I see these things on the back end as a LUBA appeal, and one of the first things that happens is the local government puts together the local record of the proceeding, if and when that happens for this trail plan, it is not going to include any of the hundreds of pages that Mr. Tallman submitted tonight, because this legislative action has not yet begun. Not until it's formalized and scheduled as a land use hearing, then you will establish a record, then this box of documents can appropriately be submitted and become part of that record as it goes forward through the Planning Commission and on through the Board of County Commissioners. So, you know, I would advise Mr. Tallman to keep his powder dry, and as you hear this as a workshop item, you get your sense of, like, what is this trail and how does it fit in with other jurisdictions, such as the City of Boardman, two separate jurisdictions. Their trail ends at the boundary, your trail presumably takes up at the boundary, and so you are not going to be adopting their trail plan and they're not going to be adopting your trail plan. These are, as a strictly legal matter, separate different trail plans. So that's the kind of conclusion I came to. I was sort of perplexed at the last meeting, so I'm sorry if I was a little discombobulated at the time, but I think that's what this thing is, and I agree with Tamara's recommendation on the process for this. Does that make sense to people?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Wonderful. So adding on to Tamara's description and Mr. Kern's description of the path forward, I strictly wanted to provide a memo back to the commission to respond to a couple of questions and concerns that you had at the previous meeting. So the memo, it is on page 22, but I'm going to just summarize it really quick here. One of the first requests was to do an inventory of private land. One of our initial thoughts was we were mistaken in that we thought this was not on any private land. These trails as they exist now are not. However, some of the trail that we are looking at potentially in the future do in fact fall on private land. So there are 11 miles of proposed trail. They are all west of the city of Boardman, from the city limits to the Gillum County, to the Gillum County line, of potential future trail segments to essentially connect the counties at some point. Of those 11 miles, 7.5 of those miles are